Now, we come to this other little animal. When he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, the tabernacle, and so on, Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man unto the wilderness, and the goat shall bear up in him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now, on this day, the great high priest functioned alone. Aaron had sprinkled the blood of the Lord's goat on the mercy seat. Now he places his bloody hands on the head of the live goat and confesses the sins of Israel. It must have been a sordid list of sins, but down the list he went. And the laying on of the hands denotes the fact that this goat is now identified as the sins of Israel. And it's of Christ it said, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he was made sin for us." And old Ambrose said, "The thief knew that those wounds in the body of Christ were not the wounds of Christ, but of the thief." Aaron put that goat into the hands of a man who had no personal interest in it, and Israelites were stationed at intervals to see that the job was done, and the live goat finally disappeared into the wilderness, never to be seen or found again, and the news that the goat was gone was relayed from station to station so that it was known a few minutes later in the temple. And just as the news was passed from station to station, so the good news that Christ has taken away our sins has been passed from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to Paul the Apostle, the early church fathers, and finally to your day and to my day, and to me and to you. Christ has put away our sins in a perfect and complete manner, and the scapegoat illustrates that, and there are several scriptures that confirm it. Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And then Isaiah 38:17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And then Isaiah 44:22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." And then Jeremiah 50:20, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve." Then again, Jeremiah 31:34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, what does the great day of atonement mean to the Christian? It's a holy day for us today, when the high priest is there with his bloody hands on the head of the goat. I think of my Lord on the cross. John pointed to him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, just keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Dean Law put it like this: faith transfers our sins, Christ removes them, God forgets them. What a wonderful picture you have here.